I have some scriptures that have been on my heart for quite a while, and I want to share them with you just as a little preparation for the burden that I have. We sang a song, "I Am a Child of the King," and I'd like to kind of direct your minds to that thought, that we have been adopted as and are now princes, royal princes of the King. We have been given a royal birth. We walk in a king's highway. We have a crown that's promised to us. We're of royalty. I believe that there's a scripture in Revelation that says that He has made us priests and kings through His blood. So in that scripture, we have different scriptures. In the Bible, we have different scriptures that give us that truth, that we are kings and princes and priests unto God. Now, we also have a royal law that we follow. And I want to turn to James chapter 2 and just read about that a little bit. James chapter 2 and verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, what is that? It lists it right here. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is the royal law. It's a law of love. As kings and princes unto God, we walk by a different rule than the rest of the world. We walk by the royal law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, or you value a rich person more than you value a poor person, this is what this is bringing out. If you esteem the high and the mighty people more than you do those people who walk an humbler way of life, you're guilty, he says here. You commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So down in verse 12 it says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The law that we follow as kings unto God is the royal law, and it's a law of love. And it's also, as described here, a law of liberty. It's not like the law, the old law, where if a person transgressed any one point, they were just set with the whole book. And it was a law that confined them, and they could never fulfill it and please God. But this law that we have, the royal law, is a law of love, and it is the law of liberty. It's freedom's law. We have several songs in our book that describe this. But it's a law that sets us free. It's something, and the reason why I want to explain that now is because way back in the old Bible, in Jeremiah 31, God gave His people a promise and a prophecy that He, through the promised Savior, He would write His law in their hearts. And that's what makes the difference. He writes the royal law, or the law of love, in our hearts. He wrote that in Jeremiah 31, but He also, in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, the author fulfills that promise and that prophecy, and He tells us again that we have, through Christ, the law written in our hearts. And it's the royal law. It's the law of love. It's something that God writes in our hearts. As we recognize His love for us and realize it and know what it meant for Him to love us even though we were sinners, He loved us and He died for us and He rescued us, and He didn't have respect of persons. He didn't say, well, you're a rich man, I'll save you. And to the poor man, I won't save you because you just don't have enough money. He didn't do that, did he? But Christ came and died for us. God loved us. The Father loved us so much that he sent his Son. It was a law of love that brought salvation into the world. And now he puts that same law into us as his royal sons and daughters. And we walk according to the royal law. It's the law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's a law that accepts and receives one another. No matter what you've done, or who you are, or how much money you have, or whether you're a big person in the authority of this world or not. He said if you commit respect of persons, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. We don't want to do that. He puts that law in us to keep us from doing that. But we speak and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. This law that he writes in our hearts, it gives us liberty of soul and not bondage. It is something that motivates us from the inside. And that's why, instead of something that confines us from the outside, we have something that motivates us from the inside. He has promised to write his law in our hearts. And we pray to him and say, Lord, do that. Oh, write your law, your law of love within me, till my soul shall be, my bonds no storm can ever break, united to thy flock and to thee. That law of love, it is something that causes us to be, as Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because of the love you have one for another. He writes that same love that he had for us in our hearts, so that we can, therefore, love each other, love our fellow man, and love those who hate us, and love those who mistreat us. It's something that frees us from carnality and from selfishness and from worldliness and sin. It liberates us to love as he does. Thank the Lord for this truth this morning. This is a truth that God writes in our hearts. I would like to turn to another scripture. I mentioned how that God writes his law in our hearts. I wanted to go just a little bit ahead of that, not just get that scripture, but I want to mention something else. This is just kind of an explanation of God and how he has written his laws. In my Bible, I have a little page, and on that page it has the seven editions of divine law. How he wrote it. He wrote his law, his will, his purpose, his plan, his commandments. He wrote that in his creation. Now, we read that in Psalms 19 and 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And in Romans 1, it reads how that the invisible things of God are clearly shown by the things that he created. We see the laws of God in creation. That's the first edition of his divine law. I hope that we can understand that this morning and see how that as we look at creation, we can see his perfection, his holiness, his love, his care, his power, his attention to detail, his desire for us to live holy. We can see that in creation. Then, in Romans 2, we read how that the Gentiles, before they ever knew God's law, God put something inside them that helped them to know if something was right or wrong. That was all people of the world, which includes us. There's just something that they would feel a guilt or a... they would feel like something was wrong if they did something wrong. I remember feeling that as a child, but before I ever knew the Bible, I remember feeling that. Do you remember feeling something inside that said, oh, that's not right? In Romans 2, he talks about that, how that the Gentiles... Let me just read it. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, they meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So the second edition of divine law was written in the consciences of people who could have a knowledge that something was right or wrong. Your conscience, if you respect it and don't go against it, it can lead you into a relationship with the Lord. If you'll follow and I'm not saying as an older person who knows the Bible, but I'm talking about a person who doesn't know God's written law, because the next edition of the law was written on tables of stone. God wrote it, and they had that law. We call it the Ten Commandments. But that's the third edition. God wrote his law as commandments, and it was written there for people on tables of stone. This little chart says that the third edition was the whole scriptures. The prophets began to contribute, and what they had to say went along with it, never conflicted with God's written law on the tables of stones. But the prophets and the poets, their words were also part of God's law, written in the entirety of the scriptures. In Romans 15, it says in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So the rest of the scriptures, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the prophets, all of those in the old part of the Bible were all part of God's written law to us. The Jews recognized it and they tried to keep it, but there needed to be something else. And Jesus came. Jesus came as the living edition of God's word. I believe it was John chapter 1 and verse... Are you following me with these different editions of God's law? Jesus came, the Word was made flesh, is the scripture that I'm trying to reach. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Logos, the living Word, he came here as a baby. He came as a person. He was just like you and I, yet without sin. But he was our Savior, and he was the Word of God made flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 16, of us all, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So he was God's law in a person. Everything that he did, and he testified this, he said, I always do the things that please my Father. The works of my Father, that is what I do. The words is what he gave to us, the words of the Father. And the people who were nearby witnessed. No man ever spake like this man. They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Everything that Jesus said was God, the Father, dwelling in him and speaking through him. He was the living addition of the Word of God. Well, what's next? What's next is that he promised that through Christ, through the infilling of his Spirit, he would write the Word, not just in our conscience, but in our hearts, in the seat of our affections, the motivation of all of our deeds and words, would be written the Word of God, the law of God. He promised he would do that. And we have a part of that, in that we take his Word and we read it and we take it in and we digest it, and it becomes us. It becomes like food. When you take in food in it and it digests, it becomes your muscles and your cells. It becomes you. Well, God's Word becomes us. We take it in, we digest it, it assimilates into our body, into our souls, and we begin to also be a living addition of God's Word to others. He writes it in our hearts. That's the next addition. And then the next one is our lives, our words, speaking to others. And I want to read that in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 3 and verse 2, ye are our epistle, the people that the Word of God is preached to and becomes part of them. Ye are our epistle, known and read of all men. So in my Bible, this little chart, it gives me this. I've been reading it, trying to understand what it's saying. The seven. Editions of divine law. The first one, written in nature. The second one, written on a man's conscience. The third one, written on tables of stone. The fourth one, the entire scriptures. The fifth one, Christ, the illustrated edition. And then, written on the heart by the Holy Spirit. And then, the outward life of the Christian, known and read of all men. That's challenging, isn't it? So that our life should be the only scripture that some people will ever read. There was a little poem that I read as a child. It says, ye are the only Bible the sinful world will read. Lord, help us. We want his Word so written in our hearts that our lives will be written and given to men as a living epistle of God's Word. I think I've got it too warm in here. If anybody could turn it down maybe one notch. If anybody is fine, I mean, everybody's fine, that's all right. Well, let's talk about this royal law, the law of love. In Romans 13, there's an explanation there. And 8, Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything. We have a debt that we owe to people. And let's not leave that debt unpaid. He said, but to love one another, for love he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. This law of love is something that we owe to every person. As we walk through this life, we owe love to every person. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See how the law of love, it fulfills all of God's law. When we have this love for another person, and we love him as we love ourselves, we love him, we put him and his needs before ourselves. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I'm thankful that the Lord can touch our hearts with love for people. Times in our life when we are tempted to do something wrong, the Lord can deal with us about loving that person or this person or whatever, about having the love of God in our hearts and motivate us to another action or another word, not that one that we had thought about. We don't live by default by the carnal things that we are before we're saved, but we live by the law that God writes in our hearts. We live by a love that he gives us, and he changes the way that we would normally and naturally act and talk. Look at these scriptures in the Old Testament. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's a great promise in Psalms 37. Thank the Lord for it. And in Proverbs, does anybody remember about the virtuous woman? The scripture in Proverbs that talks about the virtuous woman? It has something about a law. In Proverbs 31, the last chapter of that book, the virtuous woman is described. And in verse 26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, just like the righteous man in Psalms 37. Wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. So both men and women are covered by these scriptures, that our speech, all the things that we say, are governed by a law. It's the law of love, and it's the law of kindness. Lord, help us today. I feel like I need God to help me, help my words to be kind. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. Proverbs 31 and 26. In her tongue is the law of kindness. I hope that as we go from day to day, that God's law will come into our minds and help us as we speak to one another, to our loved ones, as we speak to our companion, to our children, to our siblings. Lord, help us to have a governing principle in our lives. Not just after we've done the deed for it to feel bad, like the law of the conscience, but help us before we even do it to check us and to motivate us and to help us to know what would be kind, what would be necessary, what would be helpful, what would be wise. The Lord can help us and guard us and guide us in that way. I'm so thankful. As we are walking along the King's highway, may we also be governed by the King's law, the law of the royal law. Now, let me show you where this is explained by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. I believe this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7 and 12. This royal law is described, explained by Jesus. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is contained in the written law of the Old Testament, Jesus' law that he had in his heart and that motivated him. He was the living edition of it, the illustrated edition of it. This is the principle that governs those who live by the royal law. If you would, therefore all things you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Have you ever been about to do or say something and the Lord just bring it to your mind? Would you want that said to you or done to you? Would you want that? Is that love? Would you feel that person loved you if they were to do that to you? Or if you were in their place and somebody acted or said something like this to them, would you want it if you were in their place? The Lord can govern us in this way. He can help us to know what to say and what to do. He can cut off something that we're about to say or do. He can let us know, no, don't proceed with that. It's not kind. It's not wise. You wouldn't want it done to you. You wouldn't want someone to speak that way to you. I'm thankful the Lord cares enough about us to check and to guide our lives and to put his law within our heart. What's this called as we were growing up and learned these things? What our parents or maybe the Sunday school teacher said, this is the golden rule. This is the rule of life. What things soever you would that men would do to you, do you even so to them? The world has all kinds of ways that they've interpreted this in a light and silly way. Some people have said, do unto others before they do unto you. But it's still, whatsoever things you would that men or you, but whatever you would want them to do to you, do you even so to them? I believe as we look to the Lord, ask him for guidance, ask him to help us to know what that means in our life. Every word and action measured by that rule will be good, will be beneficial, will be wise, will have the judgment of God in it, and will have the kindness that God would have us to go and do for every man. Well, I believe that this is the end of my little search for scriptures. There may be more. Go home and read it. Go home and look for it. There's more to, always more deeper and greater understanding we can get from the scriptures. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word is my prayer.